we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Congratulations. You've made it through another one. We're all the way to Friday, and I pray that you are already in preparation mode for worshiping this weekend, that you're adjusting your schedule accordingly, and pray that you just have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. If you do not have a church home, I'd like to take this opportunity to personally invite you to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We are two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, two blocks south of Merritt Avenue, and two blocks east of Tropical Trail, pretty much right in the heart of what used to be known as Merritt Park Place and may still be for all I know. But we are a church that loves people and loves the Word of God and wants to see the kingdom of God grow. If you're looking for a place to attend, to worship, and to get involved, we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. We have so many ministry opportunities, and just, you know, we're praying for God's provision so that we can launch even more ministries, because more ministries that God has laid upon our hearts will result in more people in Brevard County giving their heart to Jesus Christ. That's what we're believing for. We don't have our sights set on the rearview mirror. We're looking forward and looking for all that God is going to do. So on a personal or on a pastor note here, I'd like to thank Bill and Heidi Andriak of Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If your AC has just decided that it was time for a break and you need somebody to come out and get it back up and running, give Bill Andriak a call, 759-3284, here in the central part of the county. He can get you back up and running and keep you from losing your cool during the heat of summer. And so I liked it a few weeks ago when the mornings were nice and cool and the temperatures dropped a little bit, and that meant my electric bill went down, and hopefully yours did too. But don't stay miserable and hot this summer. Stay cool and happy. And if Bill can help you out, give him a call at 759-3284. So this coming Sunday morning, I will be preaching. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of what God is doing. We have Sunday school starts at 9:30, worship service that starts at 10:30. And then we have Sunday night service at 6:30 p.m. Come and be a part of that if you are available. So I'm going to take you in the Word of God this morning to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Reading through portions of the Old Testament can always cause me to have an attitude of gratitude. I am very thankful for names that my parents didn't name me. I don't know if you've ever had somebody who didn't have authority to name you try and name you. They might have tried to call you this derogatory name or that derogatory name or this one over here or that one over there. But I'm very thankful for the name that my parents gave me. And so today, as we read in chapter 8, I hope that when you hear what Isaiah named his son, that you will be very grateful that your parents did not name you that. But we're going to talk about a couple of important things here that are relevant to us. You know, the Bible is not just a history book. It is the Word of God. It is settled forever in heaven and on earth. It is quick. It is powerful. There are things that you and I can glean from the Word of God that will help us in our day-to-day lives. That's my privilege here on the Refresh Radio broadcast, is to help you to see principles in God's Word that will help you to live victoriously and live a life of restored value spiritually and relationally in whatever you do. So Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 1 says this, "Moreover, the Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with a man's pen concerning Meher Shalal Hashbaz. And I will take for myself faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest and Zechariah, the son of Jeberechiah. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. The Lord said to me, call his name Meher Shalal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be taken away before the king of Assyria." We're going to stop the reading right there for just a moment, because now God has taken the prophecy that Isaiah uttered in Isaiah chapter 7. Now he has put that on a specific timeline and says that before the child shall even be able to cry out my father and my mother, that Samaria and Damascus, that those two kings were going to be taken away. Those were the kings in Isaiah chapter 7 that were threatening the nation of Judah. And Isaiah says, you can put it on your calendar, within the next couple of years, before my son ever learns to speak two very simple phrases, my father or my mother, these kings are going to be done away. Isn't it amazing how quickly the mighty can fall? Isn't it amazing how God has a way of humbling and humiliating the pompous, the arrogant, the boastful, the proud? God has a way of doing that. You see, the scripture says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand and he will lift you up in due season. I tell people there is a distinction between humility, or when we humble ourselves, and humiliation. And the process is the difference. You see, I humble myself. Humility is an attribute that I embrace myself, and I allow God to work in my heart. And so that mindset of how great he is and how blessed I am as a result of his greatness and his provision, that is what manifests as humility. Not weakness, humility. That just means that I have a proper perspective of who God is, and I have a proper perspective of who I am, and I have a proper perspective of the people around me and the needs that they have in their life. And so if I humble myself, then I receive God's grace. But it says God opposes the proud. The difference between the proud and the humble is God will humiliate the proud. It accomplishes the same thing. It helps that person to gain perspective, but instead of it being an outward work of the person's heart, it is something that requires external action to take place. And it brings that person down from a high and lofty place down to a place of embarrassment and shame. And so that's what is taking place here, is God is saying, you know, in a couple of years, within a couple of years, these two kings that are threatening you, they're going to be completely removed from their place. Now, he named his son Meher Shalal Hashbaz. And that's one of the things I'm very thankful for. I'm glad I don't have to write that every time I sign a check. I would be having to do some shorthand. That name literally means speed the spoil or hasten the booty. It means that it's going to happen very, very quickly. And so this child goes around his entire life with this designation. So whenever a person comes to me and they identify themselves as a prophet, I will be honest with you, I start looking at them and say, okay, so you are a prophet. When I read the Bible about prophets, I see that God asks them to summon people back into relationship with him, invite them back into a relationship, but they demonstrate with their life, even to the point of some very, very embarrassing realities, just read Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, read Daniel, and you will see that there are some things that God asks prophets to do that I'm thankful I don't bear that title. You know, I know that if God wanted to use me as a prophet, even though I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, if he wanted to use me that way, I would. But I look at that and say, man, that's not a title you want to take for yourself. And I think all of my kids will also be thankful that they did not get named Meher Shalal Hashba. So anyway, a little something lighthearted to get you praising God today. So he says, and here's the other thing about Isaiah, is he even identifies the king that is going to take them out, and that is the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria. That defeat of Israel took place in 721 BC to 722 BC, and guess which king took them out? It was the king of Assyria. You can read in the Bible why it says that they were defeated. Just go into 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. You can, well, actually, you won't read about it in 2 Chronicles. Read about it in 2 Kings, and you will find out exactly why Assyria came and defeated the children of Israel. So let's look at verse number 5 now, and it says, "The Lord also spoke to me again, saying, inasmuch as these people refused the waters of Shiloh that flow softly and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them the waters of the river," that means the Euphrates, "the strong and mighty, the king of Assyria and all his glory. He will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks." Now listen to this. "He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be shattered, O you peoples, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you from far countries. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. To nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us." And by the way, that expression, "gird yourselves, but be broken in pieces," that's in my Bible twice there. I didn't stutter. I didn't repeat it inadvertently. It's there on and subsequent clauses in that sentence. So it says that because the people of God had resisted the soft flowing waters of Shiloh, you know, God never uses as his initial instrument of correction oppression. He never does that. He always starts with the still small voice. He starts with an invitation. He sends messengers. He deals with us in a loving manner. It's just that God is so intent and so desirous and longing of us knowing him and his goodness and walking in his favor and blessing that he refuses to fail at one point. And so he continues to step up, and the children of Israel had rejected every invitation of his. And now he says, the king of Assyria is going to come. And it says that it's not going to stop in Damascus, which was Syria. It's not going to stop in Israel, the 10 northern tribes. But he said that his reach is going to penetrate all the way to the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, known as the nation of Judah. And it says, "the king of Assyria and all his glory." In other words, there's not going to be anything held back. And you can read about this again in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. You can read about how the king of Assyria was defeated. It is a glorious thing. But it says, "he will go up over all his channels and go over all his banks. He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel." In all reality, his reach extended all the way to the threshold of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is quite an elevated city, so his reach reached all the way to there. Hezekiah began to pray and seek the Lord. And there is a glorious prophecy that came forth. And we may talk about that in a little bit later. But the king of Assyria reaches all the way to the capital of Judah. Now, there are some people who would tell you that if you become a Christian, that you are never going to encounter attacks, or you're never going to encounter anything negative. I want you to know that that's not necessarily the case. God is good. He is good all the time. He is good when the enemy is attacking, and he's good when he's not. Some people think that just because the enemy isn't attacking, that everything is going well. I would ask you this: are you doing anything worthwhile for the kingdom of God that would get the devil's attention to where he would want to attack you? I'm not suggesting that the attack is victorious, but I am of this mindset that I don't want the devil feeling comfortable with my lifestyle. I want him concerned about the faith that God has given me being employed to the maximum effect that I can utilize it. And so it says that this king of Assyria, that his reach, his glory, his pomp, everything about him, that it's going to even not only touch Syria and touch Israel, but it's going to touch the nation of Judah, and it's going to reach all the way to the royal city, the city of Jerusalem. Now, here in verse number 8, it says, he will pass through Judah, he will overflow and pass over, he will reach up to the neck. And so I want to share with you just a little bit of perspective, because I want to pray for you at the end of the program. And I have this picture here of a flooding river, a body of water, the body of that represents Assyria. And initially it's touching, you know, Syria, it's not touching Judah. And then the water rises a little more, and it takes out Israel, and it rises more, and all of a sudden it's now at the threshold of the nation of Judah, and the water level continues to arise, and it comes, and it begins to affect the outlying aspects of Judah, and then it reaches all the way to Jerusalem. So the picture is that this water is ready to consume everything in the promised land. And so I picture it starting off ankle deep, and then that's a nuisance. I don't like walking in water. If there are floodwaters, they tell you, you know, don't walk in them, because you don't know what all's going in there. But then it gets up to knee deep level, and some people, when they go to the beach, that's kind of the threshold that they use, is as long as I'm in water that is no more than knee deep, I'm okay. And then the water level rises up to hip level, and you know, if you go to the beach again, there's a lot of people, that's the stance that they use. But it says this water keeps on rising, and it reaches all the way up to the neck. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in a flood situation, if I was trapped and the water is now up to my neck, it is a matter of urgency. It is a desperate situation, because the distance from being to the neck to encompassing your mouth or your nose is just a very, very small distance. In other words, this is now perilous. This is life-threatening. But you see, the river has made a mistake. When it reaches that far, it is now touched the neck, which is connected to the head. You know, the Bible talks about abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide. It talks about that is what our responsibility is to remain connected to Christ. And when the floodwaters reach that body part that was connected to the head, now they have to deal with the head. And see, in the body of Christ, it's different than our physical body. It is true that my toe is connected to my head, but there's a lot of body parts in between there. You have a direct connection to the Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is our head. He is our sovereign. He is our Lord. He is vitally involved in this what looks like utter defeat that is coming our way. All of a sudden, it reaches the head, and I love this scripture that it talks about in the Old Testament, that God says that He establishes boundaries, and He says, "This is where your proud waves halt. This is where your arrogance stops, is when it comes to the boundary that I have established." And so today, I want to give you a word of encouragement that today, if it feels as if you are being attacked and it is beyond your ability to endure, stay connected to Christ. Abide in Him, because He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And there is never going to be a flood that is going to be able to overpower Him. And that's exactly what happened. The king of Assyria reached Jerusalem. There was a massive defeat. That king ended up being killed because of his military disasters. He died worshiping an idol. It just was a humiliating defeat. And so I just want to encourage you today that God has everything under control. If it seems like it's reached the level of hopelessness, in fact, it says when you reach the neck, now you have to deal with the head. And so I pray that Jesus will deal with you with the adversity that you're facing, and He will bring you victory. And it says, "Be shattered, O you peoples, and be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you from afar countries." Go down to verse number 10. It says, "Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God, Emmanuel, is with us." You see, the king of Assyria, it said in verse number 7, "Would fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel, God with us." And so verse number 8, actually it's the end of verse 8 and the end of verse number 10, both end with Emmanuel. It's Emmanuel's land. You are God's property. You are His chosen possession. And you, because you are, or because Emmanuel, God is with us, Jesus dwells in your heart and in your midst, it frustrates the counsel of the enemy. It says in verse number 10 that they take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. And so today, if you know, you find yourself under attack and it seems like the enemy is scheming every which way he can to plot your demise, I want faith to arise in your heart right now and say, "You know what? I am God's covenant child. I have not just said a prayer. I am walking in covenant with Him. I am believing His word, and I am trusting in His deliverance and His victory." It says, "Speak the word, but it will not stand." I love that. You know, we are told to guard our hearts and to guard our mouth, to tame our tongue. That can only be done with God's help. But that those things that we speak, that there's power in that, and it's true. Here is what this verse is saying. It says, you can take counsel together, it will not matter. You can speak the word, but your word will not stand. And the reason that word will not stand is because there is a word of higher authority. And so I want you to know, there is a word of higher authority than Congress. There is a word of higher authority than the media. There is a word of higher authority than the president. There is a word of authority higher than the Supreme Court. There is a word that is higher than your word. It's higher than my word. And that is the word of God. And it frustrates the counsel of the enemy. It causes the words of attack, the words of defeat that the enemy launches against you, it causes them to be removed, that they will not stand. That judgment will not stand. And here is the reason: because God is with you. God is with us. And I just want to touch on that. It is a corporate thing there. For Emmanuel, God with us. And so you need to be connected to the body of Christ. I know that we are so into privacy right now that everybody is looking for their place of refuge, and they're looking where they don't have to be around people. But I'm here to tell you that the church is more than sitting there watching it on a television screen. It is about being a body of believers where when we come together corporately, we build each other up in our faith, we strengthen each other with our testimonies, the word of our testimony, and we experience the presence of God. God is with us. It means that no matter how close the threat gets, it's going to be turned back. It means that no matter how many counselors there are, that there's a counselor working on your behalf and on my behalf. That no matter how many voluminous words are spoken, God's word has the last say. Because he's with us. Real quickly, you know, one of my favorite little kids movies of all time was called The Bear. And there's a mountain lion that is pursuing this baby grizzly, and it's chasing it all over Alaska. And this mountain lion can overpower this grizzly. And finally, at the end of the movie, the grizzly is trapped. The mountain lion has it cornered. And there's no place to run. And so he decides that he is just going to stand up on his hind two legs, and he's going to growl, and he's going to fight. And when he does that, all of a sudden the mountain lion turns and runs. And then the camera pans out, and you see that the mama grizzly has found the cub that had been separated from its mother. And while the cub was on its hind legs growling, the mother was on her hind legs growling, and the mountain lion fled because the parent was there. Let's pray. Let's pray today that God brings you and I the victory. It's not because our roar is so mighty. It is because we serve an almighty God. Father, right now, I don't know what people are going through. I don't know what attacks they're facing. But God, I want to thank you today that we do not face them alone. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that today the word of God would prevail, that faith would arise in people's hearts right now. Lord, it would not be the word of fear, but it would be your word of faith. And God, I pray today that every counsel that has been brought against the people of God in America and in this community, God, that word will fail, that your word will stand and it will prevail, and your people will glorify your name. Tell you what, have a great and victorious weekend, and we will see you Monday right here on Refresh. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?